welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
And this evening we've got some special guests all the way from Stellenbosch, and specifically somebody who's very dear to our hearts, somebody probably doesn't need too much of an introduction, so I'm not going to embarrass him too much. But somebody who just really has a heart after God and a desire to see people grow in relationship with Christ. Somebody who we can all look up to in the spirit, maybe not in the natural, but he's on stage tonight, so that's cool. So we'll all be looking up to him anyway. But a man who just really sets such an example as to our heart committed to the cause of Christ. And it's such a privilege to hear from him this evening, to have him with us, to see us by a welcome. Let's just give God a hand for what he's done in CS and through CS as we welcome CS up.
Okay, shake your neighbor and say, you, multiply yourself. Okay? Just especially that smile on your face. You, some of you are sitting way at the back. You must come a little bit to the front. Oh, Saunders in the camp. Okay, it's great. It's great to be here. There's also some Stellenbosch people here that have come up for the wedding. Hello, all this, and but it's what a privilege to be able to share with you. And just before we start, I saw a picture for some people here tonight of a massive piece of field, and there's a fence, a massive fence that's supposed to go around this field, but there's one part of the fence that has been broken down, and there are people walking. People have started to walk over that piece of field, but it's almost like trespassing. And then there's another piece of this fence that's completely gone, where the wind is blowing all this plastic bags, paper bags, and it's almost like this fence represents the protection of your life and the boundaries of your life, but there's been transgression in people have just stepped over the boundaries of your life, and some people have come to hurt you, and in other places there's just like no protection, and the field is your life, where God wants to come and plant seeds, and he wants to come and plant his life. So if you can identify with that picture where you're at the moment, I want you to stand, because we're going to just pray for you quickly, because I believe God wants to do something very specific in your life, and especially he wants to come and protect you. He's going to do it. He's going to put that fence around. He's going to build it again. There's some others of us that are struggling a little bit because you think, well, oh no, that's great that she's standing, but you know that you need to stand. Because there's massive stuff and voices going on in your life at the moment. So let's close our eyes. And if you need to stand, I want you to stand quickly. So we're going to just pray. Father, thank you that this evening we're not playing a game, or we've not come to church because we want to just have a show and sing nice songs. But we are here, Lord, because we are a broken people that live in a broken world, and you're a perfect God. And Lord, you make all things new. You restore, you rebuild, but especially you protect. And I come against, Lord, loneliness tonight and the fear of being alone. Lord, I come against voices and fears. And especially, Lord, where people have walked over the land where you want to plant your seeds and where you want to produce through our lives, where there's barrenness and roads, Lord, that have been walked out through people just walking over it that we're not supposed to transgress. And tonight, Lord, I pray for every heart here that you will soften that ground and that you will rebuild the fence. And Lord, where there's no fence, tonight we pray, Lord, that you will again come to strengthen and rebuild and build up, Lord, those things that have been stolen. from people here. And I pray a peace now right on people's lives, in their minds, in their hearts. And I take authority, God, and we take authority over every lying spirit that wants to steal, that wants to kill, and that wants to destroy. Won't you just pray after me? Father, I thank you that I can trust you. And tonight, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you bring a freedom and a protection and provision into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Those people that stood, or even if you didn't stand, I believe through this service, God is going to just give you a revelation, because you're very special to him. I want to talk about a scripture that I actually preached on here like 3 years ago. And we're going to talk about it again, because I just believe God wanted to make help me and help us, especially in the time that we're living, to walk in revelation knowledge. Say revelation knowledge. Okay? If you're blind and you want to go somewhere, it's very difficult because you cannot see. When you want to walk across the road or you want to travel somewhere, if you're blind in the physical, it's very difficult. You have to adopt your whole lifestyle according to your disability and your inability to be able to see. We take it for granted that you and I can walk in here, we can choose a chair and sit on the chair. But imagine living in that world where you're blind, and it's you know, you sort of have to feel your way, you have to listen, you have to adapt your whole lifestyle when you're blind. Imagine you could never see in your whole life. It must be amazing to one day to be able to see God and to be able to go to heaven and to be able to see things for real, where everything has been dark. Just, I don't think even we can imagine what type of lifestyle that is. Now, it's easy to even think about that in the physical, but when it comes to the spiritual, many people and many Christians today walk around and they cannot see. It's so difficult for them to walk into that place where they say, yes, you know, I can actually know what God is doing. I can know where God is moving. And it's so easy to almost fall into God's slipstream. And that's why Jesus came to say that he came to make the blind see. He wasn't talking just about the natural. He was actually talking more about the spiritual. And there's a scripture in Matthew 16. We're not going to read all of that. But where Jesus came to his disciples and he asked them this question. He said, who do you say that I am? He first asked, who do the people say that I am? And then he said, but Peter, who do you say that I am? Because the people said he was the prophet, he was somebody from around the corner, from Galilee. They had lots of opinions and perceptions of who Jesus was. And right here in verse 16 of Matthew 16, he says, and Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven. Say, flesh and blood cannot reveal, but my Father in heaven will reveal. Okay, so when we talk about revelation, it's reveal, or the word revival is revision or revisit, the ability to see. When we say, I want revival, how many of you want revival in your family, in Pretoria, all over the place? Thank you for your enthusiasm. There's at least half of you that like, yeah, you know. We think that when we talk about revival, we think about this stuff that suddenly, you know, something is going to fall on us and we're all going to wake up tomorrow morning and then the masses of people are going to just like run to us, you know. But revival means to revisit or revision, to see what God has already done on the cross. And the more you want revival in your life, very simply, you must pray, God, I want to see what you've done on the cross. Reveal it to me. Because Scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. And yet many Christians run to this place and they run all over the show because why? They want something new from God. But the more you get to know God, the more you just stand in awe of what he has done on the cross. So you're living with Jesus for a couple of months already. Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? And then Peter says this amazing thing. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for... Okay, you're very excited tonight. Okay, so we're going to get there. So the ability to see is so important. And the ability for us as Christians, especially in the time that we're living, it's so important to live with that, with in revelation knowledge. But what do we need to see? Very simply, two things. And that is what Simon Peter answers. He says, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You need to be able to see who God is. And the second thing we need to be able to see is what God is busy doing. Because that's exactly, because when you look at the natural, you could have just said like, oh, you're like Elijah, you're like a prophet. Because if I look at the circumstances, then it's so easy to form a perception of Jesus, what you are doing. But Peter's answer comes from heaven, a revelation from heaven. And he says, well, simply, you are the Christ. You are the anointed one. You're the one that has been filled and with the Holy Spirit and been anointed by the Holy Spirit. But you're the Son of a living God. You're not a dead God, meaning that you're always doing things. So we've started to see not just who you are, but that you are moving. And this is where we part and where many Christians sort of go in the wrong direction. And I want to especially talk to South Africans, because we get so critical that we know what we're against, but we don't know what we're for. And many times, even when we come to God, because of our culture, what we do is we always focus on how we should change and not what God is doing in our lives and who God is. So the focus many times is on ourselves more than on God. Are you with me tonight? Shake somebody next to you and say, you need to be God-focused. Okay, so there's three, you know, the fancy words. Okay, when you go to the fancy words and the vocabularies and the dictionaries and all that stuff, it says you have got an option as a Christian to live in three realms. You can either be God-conscious, you can be self-conscious, or you can be sin-conscious. What does that mean? You can be aware of God all the time in your life. You can be aware of yourself all the time in your life, or you can be aware of all the sin and the negative stuff in your life. And God wants us as Christians, and this is why the turning point with his disciples was at this moment where he said to them, now, what do you actually see? Because if you're going to focus on yourself all the time, if you're going to focus on your sin all the time, you're not going to be able to see who I am and where I'm going. Are you with me tonight? So God conscious, self-conscious, or sin-conscious, we have a choice. And unfortunately, many people, and I include myself here, sometimes move and walk in this place of, oh, I'm such a worm. I am so bad because, oh, every time God comes to me, he wants to fix 300 stuff, and I need to become more like this, and then someday God is going to use me. Hello? But that's not the gospel. The gospel is simply God comes to a group of people that are nowhere clueless, that needs God. And they know who God is, and they know who they are, and they run to him. They don't try to fix themselves. He'll do the fixing. And that's what Jesus said. He says, come and follow me, and then I will make you. But when does the making happen? When you've started to follow. He doesn't say, I will make you, and then you start to follow me. He says, follow me, and then I will make you fishers of men. Are you with me? Shake your neighbor and say, you are very enthusiastic tonight, and I love that amens, because that was a good place to say amen. Okay. So there's a couple of things I just want to quickly run through, some scriptures. Everybody sitting here, if you know God, you must know the basis of where we come from is that God has given all of us gifts, not just spiritual gifts, but God the Father has given us gifts. And when he looks at us, he looks not just at your potential, but what he has already given you. He's given you certain abilities. He's given you certain stuff. And that's why Ephesians 4 says, but to every one of us, say every one of us, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So God has given us the ability. He's given us a grace and ability, not because of us, but because of the measure of Jesus Christ. Therefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He set us free, and he gave gifts to men. So when you sit here tonight and you think like, oh, I'm such a worm, I'm never going to make it. Do you know what? You're never going to make it. It's as simple as that, because you need to start to see who God is and what God is doing in your life and then what he has done, because there's a measure of Christ. There's a gifting of Christ. Okay, so every one of us have got some gifts, and we cannot walk in those gifts in our own strength or trying to figure it out. It's not through reading a lot of doctrines. Did you know there is not something called the doctrine of the Holy Spirit? There isn't a doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And one of my friends in America sent me a vision that he had like 6 months ago. He said one day he was trying to figure out, because there was the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of righteousness, and there was all these boxes. And then he saw also one of the boxes was the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And he thought, well, something is wrong. And he started to pray about this vision. And then he had a dream 2 days later that he saw all these little boxes in this massive water reservoir floating. And the water reservoir was called the Holy Spirit. And he said, well, suddenly it made sense to him. Because he was trying to get God in boxes and say, okay, this doctrine and this doctrine. If I understand more like this, then. But everything must be cemented in the Holy Spirit, must flow through the relationship that we have with God. And that's why in the next slide, it says in 2 Corinthians, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yeah, the deep. This must be Australian or something. Yeah, the deep things of God. I don't know what that yeah means. Okay, it's just like God has got this funny sense of humor. You know, yeah, in the scripture, this guy writes in yeah. You know, now you may say differently. Yeah, 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 or whatever. But it says there, for the Spirit searches all things. Yeah, say yeah. No. You're not good at that. Say yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, whatever. How you want to say that? The deep things of God. For who among you knows the things of a man except the Spirit of man within him? So also no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Say, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So God wants to release a dimension in our lives where we don't walk by our circumstances, where we don't walk and by our fears or the things that must change in our lives, but we simply walk in revelation. And we have revelation knowledge of who God is and what he's doing every day. Not just on a Sunday, but where church happens 24/7. Because you understand that your spirit is alive. Do you know, if you go and snore tonight and you sleep tonight, do you know what? The Holy Spirit is working and God is doing stuff. Why? Because your spirit never goes to sleep. Hello? I always thought, you know, that if I put my Bible underneath my pillow, when I was a young Christian, I was like, oh, there's going to be a coming download, you know. I did it for a couple of months. It didn't work, but God saw the hunger in my life, you know. And then, you know, after a couple of months, I was very disappointed that, you know, I couldn't just say, you know, just repeat Ecclesiastes or, you know, whatever, because I don't know why, you know, some of these books have got certain names that I don't know, you know. Klaagliedere. It's not a book that you want to read, you know. It's morning songs, okay? Like, not morning in the morning. It's like morning songs, you know. It's like klag, you know. Just some of the books doesn't sound too nice. But in any case, but I thought, like, I can skip those so I can just go to the nice, the letters in red in the New Testament, which Jesus, it's Jesus' words, you know. So, but that's got nothing to do with nothing. Shake your neighbor and saying, you know, he's just checking whether you're still awake because you're, like, all over the show. Okay, but in any case, So when we talk about revelation knowledge, there's an ability to walk in this place of inspiration. And many Christians today are not inspired because they're motivated by fear. Isaiah 11 talks about the sevenfolded spirit, and it says that God wants to give us wisdom. He wants to give us might. Do you know that the Holy Spirit wants to physically take your body and use it? Do you know that you know, God wants to give you knowledge. He wants to give you, release the fear of God through the Holy Spirit. It's all names of the Holy Spirit: wisdom, counsel, knowledge, revelation. Just beautiful stuff of a dimension of God's kingdom in our lives. And I'll never forget it. We were in Rwanda in 1997 was the first time we went there. And we were standing outside in the sun at a marketplace in Kigali. And the previous day we visited all these big memorial sites of where all the people got killed. And I remember there's one place, I can't remember the place's name, but there was a massive wall like this with heaps of bones of bodies still stacked up that they were busy cleaning because they just threw lime on it because they couldn't bury the people quick enough. And so we were quite traumatized and walking around on this market just to go and buy bread. We were four people and it was like a very busy market and everybody. And the next moment there was a guy running up to me and he took my shirt from the back and he started to shake it. Yeah? And he started to shake it like quite tensely, and just like a good South African, I grabbed my wallet and everything that I, you know, and wanted to just protect myself. And the next moment I turned around and there was this guy, a young guy, probably like 17 or 18 years old, and his eyes was like round. And he said, "Do you come from South Africa?" I said, "Yes, yes, I come from South Africa." He said, "Do you know what? This morning the Lord woke me up around about 7:30, 8 o'clock this morning. That was about 11 o'clock the morning. The Lord woke me up and he said, I must come to this market because I'll find you here. He showed me the group, the four of you that will be standing here. He showed me your faces. And he told me these words. He said to me, there's a massive wave coming that's breaking forth from South Africa. It's a tsunami." That was before the tsunamis that I didn't even know that it's called tsunamis in those times. He says, a spiritual tsunami is going to break from South Africa. But the church in South Africa must wake up. She's fast asleep. And then he turned around and he ran away. I still really don't know if it was an angel, but the guy did sweat, and I don't think angels sweat, so I don't know. I'll know one day in heaven. But then I realized, you know, everywhere we go and just standing there in the marketplace thinking we're going to buy some bread, God has got a plan. God is moving, and God is doing stuff. And he wants us to be part of that. He wants us to walk in that fullness of the Holy Spirit. But we have a bit of a challenge sometimes with our brains. Okay, our brains get in the way. We try to figure out God. So I asked the question now, who qualifies to walk in revelation knowledge? Some scriptures quickly. The first one is very simply those who are called. In Acts chapter 13, verse 39, the promise is to you and to your children and to as many as the Lord our God will call. God calls everybody. It says, everybody has been called. But few make a choice for that calling. You see, there's nothing like the pastor in front is more spiritual than you. The moment when you fall for that lie, you're in trouble and the church is in trouble. If you rely on me to play Holy Spirit for you, we're in trouble. Hello? And that's why I must be honest, I don't like the word volunteerism in the church. Because everybody is a minister. Now, whether you're singing here or whether you're ushering at the door, you must be prayed up. Because sometimes you have one opportunity to change a life. Whether you're doing the sound at the back, do you know what? That's glorious to God. Because why? If you see it as I'm ministering unto God, everything I'm doing, when I walk in, not tomorrow, Tuesday morning, at my workplace, and I take up those books and I walk in there, then do you know what? God wants to use you. You're ministering to God. You're a minister of the gospel. There's nothing like we've got a spiritual world here on Sunday, and then Tuesday morning, it's something different. You know, when I worked as an accountant, I experienced it many times. After 3 years, I got the opportunity to be the IT manager of a massive couple of companies, and I thought, well, oh, that's nice. Let's go for it. And you know, so I just said to the boss, yeah, I'll do it. You know, oh, half of the time, no, 80% of the time, I was clueless. I literally had to sit in front of those computers, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I haven't got a clue what's going on. This is a 3 million rand project that we're working with, and I haven't got an idea. But Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are the Spirit of wisdom. You know? I remember this one time, and some of you may have heard this, Jason. I was standing, and the CEO and all the big guys were standing. Now we have to do this massive transfer of systems and stuff. And I walk up to this meeting, and I think, like, well, there's one question they must not ask me. Because if they're going to ask me this question, I am fired. Because I don't know the answer, and I'm supposed to know the answer, but I haven't got a clue. It's just too difficult and all that stuff. And so I'm standing there, and now the CEO of these, like, big companies, they're standing there, and the guy... So we start the meeting, and 30 seconds into the meeting, the CEO turns to me and he says, okay, so CS, how do you think we're going to solve the following problem? And then he gives me the question that I was fearing he would ask. The first thing that came into my brain was, rapture, Lord, rapture. Second coming, now Jesus. Into your hands I commit my spirit. I wanted to pray lots of prayers at that moment, but it didn't work. Yeah? And then, you know, first, like, it's when your heart, you don't know where your heart is anymore. It starts going like kudoof, kudoof in here, and then suddenly it's in your big toe, and then it's in, like, all over the place. Your heart is pumping all over the place, and then you realize, I'm in trouble. And then the streams of living waters begin to gush out from underneath your armpits. It flows down. You know? Have you been? You know, all the scriptures out of context comes to happen through your body. Yeah? And I was standing there and I was thinking, like, okay. And I said, okay, Holy Spirit. Now in my mind, I'm just thinking, Holy Spirit, you need to help. And I just started to talk. And the next moment, I got an open vision. And God started to show me exactly how to solve the problem while I'm busy talking and the CEO and all these people are standing there. Three sentences into this conversation, I begin to realize I'm going to forget it's not being recorded, what I'm saying. So I grab a piece of paper and a pen, so I write down, I make short notes as to what I'm saying, because I realize I'm going to forget now, because this is like just the flow, yeah? And but have you read scriptures, you know, when Paul's in a city, then God says, don't be afraid, just open your mouth, start to speak, I'll put words in your mouth. Because if you yield it to God, the Holy Spirit is going to give you a revelation in the moment. But not just about spiritual things. About everything. Hello. Shake your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. Okay, so who are the called ones? Everybody. It takes a great humility to walk in this place. And that's why in James, it says that, you know, there's only one group of people that God resists. It's called the proud. He says, he gives grace. Grace is the ability to do, the ability to be inspired, the ability to live a righteous life. You know, there's lots of grace stuff going around that says grace covers all your sins. But grace just enables you to do what God has called you to do. It's an enablement. It's an ability. It's where you can't, and God says, hey, my strength is made strong in your weaknesses. I'm going to give you strength where you're weak. But there's one thing that we have to know. There's only one group that God resists, where God literally comes to stand in the middle of the road in front of you and he stops you and he starts to work against you. It's those who have got pride. It says when you're humble and you realize who you are, because remember, people can't tell you whether you're humble or not. Only God can tell you whether you're humble or not. Because humility is something in the heart. It's not what we do on the outside. Lots of people portray themselves as humble, but they're actually very arrogant. Because they're motivated by the fear of man. But when you're humble before God, you realize a deep, utter dependency on him. The pride is just simply those who say, I can do it myself. I can do it in my own strength. I've arrived. The humble people are the people that says, God, I've never arrived and I will never arrive. I'm always learning. I'm always growing. I always need you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need God. If you didn't know that, I want to preach the gospel to you tonight. You need God. Okay. Thank you for your enthusiasm by turning to your neighbor right there, but we're going to get to that. Okay. Quickly, we're just running to answer some questions. Why or who would God use? Okay, are you still with me? Are you still excited? Okay. There's a holiday spirit. And I'm only checking. Okay, so God uses people that are humble. God uses you if your motivation is love. There's a quote on the next slide. It says, just very simply, he drew people not merely by power or charisma, that's not Jesus in the popular sense, but by love. The one thing that the people said about Jesus is that he's accessible. Simply meant that he loved everybody. His motivation, the reason why he did miracles, was simply, scripture says, because he was moved by compassion. So love stirs God, and love enables you to go. And scripture says, how do we love? Well, love is not a feeling. It's not by trying to say, oh, I must love everybody. Because in the natural, you are not going to love that person that stands next to the road and stinks and swears at you, all that stuff. It's not. God doesn't expect us to love. But the moment when you lock into the Holy Spirit, because that's what scripture says in Romans, it says that God has poured out his love through the Holy Spirit. He's given us the ability through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you to love. When you yield your life to him, when you begin to ask him, say, Lord, I want to love. I don't love. You know? I was sitting the other day, and we're all human, okay? Any humans in the place? Thank you. Okay, I don't know what the rest of you aliens. I don't know, but you know, most of us are human. So I was sitting there, and there was about 3 months ago. This one guy really stabbed me in the back, if you can say that. Now, most of us as Christians, or even people in the world, we've all got our stories to tell. Of you trusted somebody, that person abused the information you gave them and started to use it against you. Okay? How many of you have ever experienced something like that? Okay, some of us. Okay, we've got all got our stories to tell. And this guy really came out for me. He just, I shared something and then he took it to other people and it was just one chain reaction after the other. It just like blew up and it was like destroyed a lot of relationships. So now I decide, I am simply going to do it. I'm going to pray the benedictional blessing. Lord, keep him, bless him, and keep him far away from me. And then the most amazing thing happens. Wherever I go, I bump into this person. Now, the elephant is in the room. There is no space for the two of us because the elephant just swells every time. Every time I see him, I just think like, oops. And then you've got that 1 second where you can turn away and walk away, but then you realize, oh, we've seen each other. And then we just like. But we don't say that. You know, you know, whatever. We're Christians, so we don't swear, but we think sometimes harsh words. Okay, so now I bump into this person all the time, you know. So now I realize God is setting me up and God is not happy with me. You know? The scripture says love covers a multitude of sins. And if we don't forgive others, God will not forgive us. So now you have to work through all of those issues because forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice you make. So then every time I want to moan and tell God actually how wrong this person is by offending me and doing all this stuff, then God just is silent. And I think like, Lord, just say something. And the Lord probably just goes like, you know what to do. 3 months. So now I confront the situation. But you know how free I was after that? And I just want to clap myself because I think like it took me 3 months. And now we're the best buddies and we are just, and it's amazing how God used this whole opportunity for both of us to grow. And now we're just like psyching each other up. But you know how many people walk away from relationships? People walk away from people that God sent into your life because they irritate you and they frustrate you and they smell and they don't know. And we don't have the liberty as Christians to walk around with offenses in our hearts. Because sweet and bitter water cannot come from the same fountain. What we speak and what happens in our heart. If there's bitter water in your life, it will quench the Holy Spirit from flowing in your life. If you've got unforgiveness and hatred and you're irritated by people all the time, you know what? God cannot move. Why? Because you're so focused on those things, you actually become a captive to those relationships. It means you're indebted. They, although they owe you something, you are actually then become a slave. Okay, are you still with me? Thank you for that. Okay, we're just part busy with the introduction. Okay, so the next one, we're talking about who God wants to use it, and this is probably the most important thing that I want to say tonight, because there's a slight deception coming into the charismatic church, which we don't say, but we actually do it or we think it. The deception is very simply, the deception is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not good enough or is not sufficient enough to break strongholds over people's lives. So what we must do is we must start to add things to the gospel, or we may start to look at other things than the gospel. Now, some of you are going to catch this. There's a little bit of a thing there that A.W. Tozer wrote that I want to read. I'm going to read it twice, okay? He wrote it, I think, in 1970. He says, if we only preach the power of the Spirit without the cross, it is a short circuit which brings loss of the very power we preach about. The Spirit's primary interest is in the cross. We don't preach power, but the gospel, which is the power of God by the Spirit. Okay, now, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm going to read it very slowly again. If we only preach the power of the Spirit without the cross, it is a short circuit which brings loss of every power we preach about. The Spirit's primary interest is in the cross and what has happened on the cross. We don't preach power, but the gospel, which is the power of God. Romans 1 verse 16 and 17 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. So many people have got the sense, and especially in the charismatic church, we run after the power or even our testimonies or even our mission trips, and we want to tell people of the stuff that has happened, but then it's a slight thing where we can get deceived because we're moving away from the gospel of what Jesus Christ really has come to do. And the Holy Spirit confirms that. The Holy Spirit, the signs and the wonders, confirms the preaching of the word. But we can never walk away from what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. And when we preach Christ crucified, then it is the power of God released. But there's a slight thing that says we must run after the miracles, or it's so great, you know. So what we begin to talk about more, and you have to listen to me very carefully, we talk about the miracles more than what we talk about what has happened on the cross. And then we lose the power of the cross, but we start actually very slightly, we start to run after the miracles or the signs of the wonders or the gifts on our lives. And we will fall into deception if we do that, because the gospel is the power of God. The message of Jesus Christ, we can change the methods. So whether we have smoke bombs or stuff here on the stage, that doesn't matter. But we can never change what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, because the Holy Spirit comes to put his stamp of approval, of miracles, and of healings on the preaching of what Jesus has done. But many people don't preach what Jesus has done anymore. The righteousness of God, the salvation of God, the justification of God, that what the cross really means, and that Jesus died. Because we think, well, that's old school. And you get lots of movements now that says, no, we must just change. We must actually change the message, because it's not applicable to us anymore in the West. We must be a new movement into this or a new movement into that. And I tell you, if you want to be a Christian, if you want to make it to the end, the more you get to know God, the more you're going to walk in the revelation of the cross. Just about 3 months ago, God showed me an open vision of Jesus hanging on the cross and his eyes looking towards me. And every time I worship, I just see that and I just break before God. I don't even mind what words I say. Because if I want revival in my heart, I must know the blood of Jesus. But how many times do we hear sermons on the blood of Jesus? When last did you hear a sermon on the blood of Jesus? And the witness and the power of the blood of Jesus. The basis of our covenant. I do not like to talk about that because everybody knows about those things. I'm not belittling all the other stuff. But we must be very careful that we don't walk away from the power of the gospel. And then the Holy Spirit slowly starts to withdraw because he can only confirm the word of God. He can only affirm the gospel. Are you with me tonight? If that's the only thing you remember, I want you to remember that. When you pray every day, you say, God, I want to see the cross. I want to see what you did on the cross. I want to know you. I want to know Christ and him crucified. I want to live in the revelation of what the blood of Jesus means. Every day when you go out to work and you say, Lord, I apply the blood to the doorpost of my heart, to my family, to my life. Lord, I come to thank you that there's a witness in heaven today because of what Jesus has done. And the more you get to know him, like we sang tonight, thank you for the cross. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done. The more we get to know him, the more we just grow in thankfulness and worship because we know we can't repay that. Are you with me? That was a good place to say amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Okay, now we can go on to the next one. Okay, are you still ready? This is part of the introduction. And then two more slides. Are you with me? And then we're going to start to pray. Then the service is starting. Okay. Now, if we want to, we're talking about revelation, knowledge, and who God wants to use. There's quite a challenging scripture, and I think it's in Corinthians. Is the next previous one there? No, the previous one? Oh, next one? Oh, it got lost. I'll tell you now where it is. Okay. But I want to read it to you. Paul writes, it says, nevertheless, he talks about, in the first couple of verses, he talks about the reading of the law and the Old Testament. And he says, when the Old Testament is read and the law is read, what begins to happen is there's a veil that has been placed over your eyes and you get an inability to see spiritually. And so here in verse 16, he says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Say that. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's freedom. Okay. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this is a bit controversial, but hang in here with me. There's a massive onslaught for decades and for many years to do one thing, to raise up generations that will be veiled, that cannot see God. And I'm going to say this with lots of respect, but we need to be focused as Christians. You know, whether you come from maybe a very reformed background, or whether you're in a Hindu temple, you grew up in a Hindu temple, do you know what happens? Many times there's doctrines that enforce a veil over people's eyes. Do you know what people do with babies? Is they put a little dot here, or like we just read in the week, you know, when a baby is born into the African cultures, the umbilical cord is cut off and it's buried under the tree to connect with the ancestors. And there's ashes putting on the person here. Or even in Christian circles, lots of rituals. And it's always funny. In all the religions, it's got something to do with right here that they put here between the person's eyes. Something either ashes or stuff, and many times it blocks generations from being able to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why if you go to church and the law is written, you know, the Ten Commandments is read to you every week, that's where the scripture comes from, then it says you're being veiled because the Old Testament is placed on you in certain stuff. But you know, in all the different religions, there's some sort of ritual from when you're young that is placed over you, especially when you're a baby, that veils you. Because the devil knows if he gets you right there when you're young, you're always going to struggle to be able to see God and to be able to move with the Holy Spirit. And that's why If you've been involved in stuff like that, you must renounce it because you cannot worship God and ancestors. You cannot have a mixed thing. The same, you cannot worship God and be trapped in religion. Or you cannot have Hinduism and also worship God. It can't just be another God. Why? Because then you'll be veiled. You can't see and you're trapped to move in the fullness of God. Because the devil knows. Get those kids, get you from a young age and you haven't got a clue, then you always like pray against the roof. There's no freedom. You can even be spirit-filled and still be veiled. Because it just always feels like there's a block. There's not a freedom to move. And then you can't walk in revelation knowledge where the Father opens up the heavens and says, now. It's getting very quiet here. That was just a bit of controversial information, but it is the truth. Okay. Now everybody's thinking like, okay. But we're going to pray, and we're gonna renounce it. And the last scripture for the evening, and then we're going to pray. Okay, are you ready? 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, because this is the standard for the church, and this is what we're going to do now. Okay. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you, say each of us, each of me, and each of you. Okay, you were supposed to turn to your neighbor there and say, each of you, okay? Each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. I love this scripture because Paul writes here to a charismatic church and he says, whenever you come together, it doesn't say when you come together on a Sunday night at church. It includes that only. But whenever you say this, no tatum tabrai, okay, it's no brai. Whatever you do, you know, do you know that when you come together, God just wants a spontaneity in a release of the Holy Spirit? It says in Ephesians 5, verse 18 to 20, it says, don't be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, the result of the Holy Spirit in your life is, he says, we will speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and you'll make melody in your heart to the Lord, always through all things, giving thanks to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, so whenever you come together, it's not like a party out there Saturday night where you need to psych yourself up and you say, you know, get yourself drunk so that you're out of control. It says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is the result. You'll sing songs. Now, I only sing in the shower. I know some of us only sing in the shower. We you know, we're going to damage other people, and especially their hearing, you know, when we sing outside. But you have a psalm, you have a hymn, you have a spiritual song, you have a tongue, you have an interpretation. So when we come to church, church should actually look completely different. And I want to challenge all of us, and especially older Christians here tonight. Because many of us walk in here because, you know, don't talk to me about surrender. Talk to me about December, okay? Talk to me about the holiday, yeah? Don't talk to me about changing. Don't talk to me about, because I've just come here because, you know, I'm actually very tired. It's just the end of the year. And, you know, I just want a break. So I'm going to take a break from God. But, you know, when you come together, whenever you come together, there's a psalm that God wants to release. There's a song that he wants to release. There's a word that he wants to release. There's something God has placed there. God is always moving wherever you come together. As Christians, and he wants that overflow of life. He said, Jesus said, fountains of living waters will spring up from your innermost being. It will cause rivers to flow. It will cause this amazing place of just God's fullness to manifest in your life. And thankfulness will come out of your life because you'll say, it doesn't matter what my circumstances say, I can worship God. Like Paul and Silas in jail, in prison. They just say, Lord, this is time to worship. And then the prison doors open up. Why? Because there's a dynamic of the Holy Spirit that the first church lived in. And we're very far from that as the charismatic church. We think we're spirit-filled because we got baptized a while ago. But we're very far from being a charismatic church because God wants to release a dynamic. So where do we start? By being honest. By saying, God, I repent. I want to become God conscious. I want to become a Holy Spirit conscious. And the times when God has used me the most, I tell you, was the times when I felt very unchristian. But because of a yieldedness and an honesty and say, okay, God, I humble myself, I don't want to pray for people now. I don't want to get inspired. I don't actually want, because it's actually all right if you pray prayers like that, you know, because God knows you don't want. But Lord, Holy Spirit, help me to see what you are doing. Everything and every opportunity, there's something God is doing. So many Christians are so afraid of what's going to happen in our nation. Well, with this change, there's a massive change in our nation at the moment. What an opportunity. What an opportunity to begin to pray and say, God, when the nation is vulnerable, you've got a plan. You're moving. Lord, raise up people. Lord, let the prophets begin to speak again. I want to be one of them, Lord. Will you stand with me tonight? Because we're gonna trust God to start to do that tonight. Okay. So I know many of us are tired and we're thinking like, yeah, it's hot in here. And that's nice. But you don't know where I come from. I want to say to you tonight that God is not looking for your perfection. And God doesn't need you. But he wants to use you. There's nothing like when a father gets a kick from his son or his daughter doing something. I tell you the most amazing moments. I want you to listen to me now, okay? The most amazing moments for me as a dad, I've got three children, is when one of my kids come running into the room where I'm sitting or maybe I'm working and just come and stand next to the chair and tells me, Daddy, you're the best. I love you so much. Turns around, runs off, and goes and play again. Something happens here in my heart that I cannot explain to you. You'll know that when you have your own kids one day. Ask Michal and ask Philip and ask all the people that's got kids. There's just something. Those kids, you know, you want to kill them regularly. You want to murder them often. You know, I love what Billy Graham said when I asked him one day, you know, have you ever thought of divorcing your wife? He got quiet. He said, divorce? Never. Murder? Many times. Because, you know, that's what relationship is. But there's nothing like when you as a father, without setting out a lot of rules and say, every morning at 9:15, or every morning at 6:45, before you go to school, you must come into my office and you must come and tell me how much you love me. No, that doesn't work. But when there's this spontaneous outburst of interruption between the play and the play, because my little son, Josh, the other day, he said he's going to school next year, to grade one. I said to him, you're going to learn to read and to write. He says, no, he doesn't need to learn to read and write. I said, no, you have to. He says, no, he's going to play for the rest of his life. He's going to become a professional player. Yeah. So I was thinking like, oh, kids are just different, you know. It was very serious. But you know, when that kid comes to stand there and that kid begins to spontaneously respond to your love without you putting rules or regulations, it does something in you as a father. And you know, that's how God feels when you have decided to come to church tonight, because you could have just decided, hey, I don't need church. I don't actually need to go there. Some of us may have come here because we're afraid and we just want, you know, we're just so obligated to come. But the fact that you're here, do you know that God is so pleased with you? He looks at you completely different than what you look at yourself. But the one thing that God doesn't like is when we focus so much on ourselves and our shortcomings and our bad past and all the negative stuff, and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Spirit, and we try to play the Holy Spirit in our own lives, or we try to play the Holy Spirit in other people's lives. God doesn't like that. Because then he's going to fail. That's why we must be God conscious and Holy Spirit conscious, and we must see where God is moving. And we must say, Lord, I just want to know what's on your heart. Where are you going? What are you doing? So tonight, if you are here and you have lost your revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ, just the passion for Him, just that ability to stand before Him and say, Lord, wow, You can have all the rest. Just give me Jesus. Jesus is not your number one and He's not your best friend. You're not in love with Him. You've lost that ability to be in love with God. Then it's as simple as a prayer away. As simple as a turning back to Him and say, okay, God, I've got so complicated. I've tried so hard and I've failed. But Jesus, I want to be in love with You again. Because You're always looking out for me. You're always looking at me. God has never turned His face away from you. But then you need to repent and you need to come back to Him and say, God, I'm sorry because I've been so sin and self-conscious. I've been trying to save myself. I took Your job. You're the Savior. You're the healer. You're the one who changes. I'm just the one who surrenders. So if that's you, first group of people I want to pray for tonight, I want you to walk out from where you are and I want you to come and join me here on your right-hand side. And all we're going to do is, I don't know how long you've been a Christian or how long you've been doing stuff. You may have done all the Bible school, jumped up and down, saw people raised from the dead. But if that passion in your heart for Jesus is dead, you just feel like a heart inside and you just feel like He's so far from you. We're going to start with a simple prayer tonight. We're going to renew our wedding vows to Him. I'm in between 6 weddings. So tomorrow and Tuesday, we've had like 3 weddings in the last 3 days. And it's just so amazing when that couple stands in front of you, each other, and they say those words as if they're the first couple that has ever said any vows to anybody. The first people getting married. They look each other in the eye and all they can see is just love. They look past all of their mistakes. They don't try to sort each other out. They're just like there in the moment. And they talk to each other and they look each other in the eye, you know. It's always amazing to me when they're standing in front and you're preaching and they don't even hear a word you're saying because they're just on cloud 9 somewhere out there, you know. Floating. That's what love does to you. You go into a dimension, Nicolaine, that you cannot understand. Okay? And Karika. Okay? It's just like amazing. You know, we were there. No, let me not put them on the spot. You know? But they, you know, it's just amazing how some people, when they get engaged, they just like, they laugh all the time. And I don't know why they laugh. Everything is just funny. And it's so amazing because it's something that stirs you because you're hot. Has been connected to somebody. And that's all God wants, is a heart to be connected. The second group of people I want to pray for is you are a Christian or you've come all the way, but you realize tonight that you are veiled. You don't walk in revelation knowledge. If I must tell you tonight, hearing the voice of God, how often do you hear it? How do you move in that place of seeing where God is moving and seeing where He is? Then you probably just like go like into, you know, my small group leader, he always gets the words. He's more spiritual than I am. And you always like defer to other people. And maybe it's through stuff that has happened when you were a baby or through stuff, rituals in your life. I don't know. But you need to come and renounce that stuff. And you need to come against that lie that says you cannot see spiritually because you feel spiritually inferior to other people and you feel like God is never going to use you. I want you to step out from where you are. I want you to come and join me here on this side. I want you to quickly come as we're going to pray for these people first. Okay, come. If God is speaking to you tonight, I want you to come quickly. Okay. Well, while they're going to come, some of them, we're going to pray and we're going to just present ourselves to God. Say, yes, God, here am I. I am so clueless, but I want to start all over as if it's the first time. Because that's how God sees every morning. His mercies are new every morning when you wake up. He just is like, whoa, let's forget the past. Let's live. Okay, so will you close your eyes and we're going to pray together. I want you to pray after me. Lord, tonight, I stand before you as a sinner, imperfect, a human in need of a Savior. I realize that I struggle to see you and who you are. But I thank you for the cross. And tonight, I come to stand under the shadow of the cross. Because when you pray those prayers, Jesus, when you pray those prayers, Jesus, of forgiveness, of release, you prayed it over me. And tonight I turn away from trying to save myself, trying to do things to please you. I renounce the flesh. I renounce my own trying. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you invade my life. Take control, Lord, of my mind, of my intellect, of my fleshly desires. I thank you, Lord, for a fragrance of Jesus in my life. I thank you for the cross, and I ask that you forgive me, and I turn away, Lord, from any sin consciousness, any self-consciousness. And I want to be aware of what you are doing and of who you are. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. And I pray tonight that you'll stir a flame in my heart again. A passion for you, God, where your name will be on my lips and a worship song in my heart every moment of the day. I want to be in love with you, Lord. Teach me what that means and show me your life in Jesus' name. I want you for a moment just to close your eyes. And I want you just to talk to God. Just be very raw, honest, and tell him exactly where you are. Say, because there's some of you that for a long time you haven't spoken to God. You haven't said anything to him because you're afraid. You're afraid you won't have the words. I don't know. But I want you to talk to him just for a moment. We're gonna take just 2 minutes and just say, God, I thank you that you are here. I thank you for your freedom, Lord. But talk to him like he's your father, because he is. And he's so proud of you for just being here tonight, just for responding, just for saying, because that's what you're here for him. You're not here. He said, I want more of you, God. I want to be in love with you. There's some people here that are struggling with intellectualism. You're struggling with your mind because your mind gets in the way all the time. I want you to come to the front quickly. I want you to come and stand right here in front, because we're going to anoint you. And we're gonna just consecrate our minds. God wants to use your mind, but he doesn't want your mind to get in the way, okay? Because every time when you come, I saw a picture of every time just when you come and you want to enter into through the door, then everything inside of you tries to figure out, because you try to figure out God. You try to think things, and then you say, no, that's just my mind. And then you struggle to connect your mind to your spirit. Okay, I want those people to stand in the first row quickly, because we're going to anoint everybody that's standing in front tonight. Okay? Jacobus, the Lord says to you that there's always a choice, and tonight he's changing that thing where you always sort of withdraw. Okay? And he says you're his son, and he wants to use you very powerfully. But then every time when he says that, it's almost like you just something inside of you just says no. And you're afraid to go there. But the Lord says tonight in front of all of these people that tonight he's changing that in your life. You're not going to be afraid. No confusion. And there's certain stuff of life that you love. You love engaging people, and you love connecting, and he's made you in that way. But you can't do it in your own strength. And all the confusion, he's taking that away, and he's just saying to you tonight that he loves you so much. Okay? But you're going to need to learn to say yes to Him. Yes to His call on your life. Don't withdraw. You have to draw near to Him. And you have to draw near to Him. And just in that honesty, there's something that says to you that you don't have a pure heart, but God says you have. Because He sees right through all of this stuff and He looks right into your heart and He says you have a pure heart. He just loves your heart. And don't ever look to the left or to the right to other people around you. Don't defer to them when God calls you. It's like He says, come. Come tonight, He says to you, come. He saw this night many years ago. There were people that has prayed powerful prayers over you in the past. But He saw this night just as a place where He says, just one step closer. And that's all God wants. He wants us just to take one step closer from where we were yesterday. We mustn't try. He just says, come closer. When I call you, just come closer. That's all we're doing. And we're consecrating our minds. We're consecrating our hearts to Him. And we're saying to God, God, we're not going to try to figure you out. We're not going to try to be God. Because that's pride. That's just saying, oh, I must first figure out God before I can engage in my heart. And that's the biggest lie that the devil wants to bring. The moment when you say yes to Jesus, the moment you have a heart after God. Because that's what the Holy Spirit brings. And so, Father, I thank you right now tonight that we can stand against a spirit of intellectualism. And Father, as we just lay hands on each one of these people, we thank you, Father, that tonight you're not going to wipe away their brains. You're not going to take away their brains. But tonight we pray for a release from their hearts. A release to worship you. A release to be childlike. To be like children that can be before you. And Lord, a release, Lord, of your life over them, Lord. Lord, there's some of them that have, Lord, just think back to their years as children, Lord, and it's not good experiences, Lord. But I thank you, Father, that you're going to restore, you're going to give back. You're going to give back, Lord. And Lord, all the years that the locusts have eaten, Lord, all the years that have been stolen from them, tonight we say, thank you, Lord, that you're a restorer. Thank you that you take away the shame of their youth. You take away the shame and the guilt and the reproach. And we break, Lord, every cultural bondage. We break every lie, every veil that wants to veil people from not seeing you, God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that every demonic thing, we take authority over it and we break every stronghold over people's lives. And Lord, right now we consecrate these people, and we pray that the eyes of their understanding will open up to see God, to know God, and Lord, to begin to worship. And we pray right now, Lord, for a release of songs. We're going to want you to start to prepare yourself, because we're going to sing in the Spirit now. No, we just want to anoint everybody. We want to thank you, Father, for a release of songs and hymns and spiritual songs and melody in their hearts, Lord. Not because we must try, but because veils are lifted to be able to see God. And Lord, I thank you as I'm standing, you show me a picture, Lord, that each one here, Lord, there's a wedding dress that they must come, and you've got the wedding dress in your hands. They must come and put it on, Lord. Because the bride is making herself ready, Lord. It's perfectly, Lord. It fits perfectly. It's not a shame-based old second-hand dress, Lord. But it's something that the Holy Spirit wants to release, Father. And we release dreams and visions and prophetic words, Father. I thank you for the release of the prophetic over his life, Lord. That ability to discern things and step into the spiritual realm, Lord. And then yield words from the spiritual realm, Lord. Well, there's been many accusations. There's been many lying spirits, Lord. And it's been just been telling him no, Lord. Lord, that creativity that you have placed in his heart, Lord, must be blocked. But tonight we unblock it. And we release him, Lord, to the power of the prophetic, the ability to encourage, the ability to build up, the ability to strengthen, the ability to release the fullness of God. Okay, we're going to just sing new songs to God now. I want you to close your eyes and just for a moment, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your corporate anointing, Lord, to be released. We're going to just sing in the Spirit for a moment. Just sing a new song.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power. power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.